This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, pull up to the curb and get ready, because we have another edition of Shift and Stare, episode 440. That's right. I said 440. Woo! You could sit down and, you know, what's that equate to, you guys? Have you ever figured it out how long it would take to listen to every back episode?
It's like 50 hours a year for 10 years. So it's about 500 hours of.
Yeah, I was going to say 440 times an hour.
Yeah.
It would take quite a while. So, you know what? You're set for a while. And you know what else you got to be set with? With our sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. They have every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Be sure to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus off your first deposit. It's BLEAV, BELIEVE, for your 50% welcome bonus. It's Bet Online. The game starts here.
And a bunch of slut games?
That was so weird. You were saying unwind as Aaron is unwinding cords. He's doing it. Hey, so you know what? We got some bad news yesterday. Parnelli Jones passed away. Now, Parnelli lived a great life. He was 90 years old. It wasn't like, somebody that passed away really young. However, Parnelli, I don't know what memories you guys have of him, but I have two really distinct memories, and I want to hear what you guys have too. But my first one is something that is in my garage, and it was a sticker. I got to be honest, at the time I was really young. I didn't even know who Parnelli Jones. I knew he was a race car driver, but I didn't know his history or anything about him. But I had this cool sticker. It was a round sticker, and it was like maybe a 70 Ford van. And it was done by that artist, Dave Deal, who always did the cartoony with the big tires that would say like Goodyear on them and stuff. And it said Parnelli Jones Racing Enterprises. And I remember I put that, it was like one of the first stickers. I think that and a Richard Petty STP sticker were the first ones that I stuck on a toolbox. And, you know,
wow.
Really cool. And the other memory I have goes back about 10 years ago. A friend of mine was invited over to Parnelli's place. And Matt, you went to Parnelli's place once, didn't you? See his collection and everything?
No, I didn't. But we had the big Ole Bronco over, and we've had Parnelli over to the studio, to Adam Carolla's studio.
He's a great guy. Yeah. Just fun and full of life. I mean, even in his older years, but I just remember I went over there and, well, you know, you guys know how I am. I collect everything, right? Well, he one-upped me 100 times over. He had every race car, every helmet, every trophy, and at his place, he had a room of nothing but, and it was a very large room, filing cabinets. And I asked him, I said, oh, is this where the business is done? He goes, oh, no. And he went over and he had every program organized by year at every race he ever raced at. And it was
oh my gosh,
here's the 68 Indy 500, you know, and he pulled it out and he had the program. And I was like, I was amazed. And then he had such an amazing collection of cars and helmets and trophies and uniforms. But the highlight of the night that evening was we were going to dinner with him. And he goes, I'll drive. You guys, this guy drove his Cadillac CTSV like it was stolen, man. I mean, we were going through El Segundo like 80 miles an hour. He's whipping in and out of traffic and drifting a little bit around corners. And I was kind of like, this is kind of cool. Parnelli Jones racing through the street. And it was fun. Now, you guys had that really cool Ole off-road truck. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think so at the time, if I recall, it was a while ago. They brought a replica that they were building for something, and then Parnelli Jones came in and spoke for a while on the podcast, and he came in again and he brought like some other car he was working on. I know he did a partnership with like Celine, and they did like a Parnelli Jones Celine edition Mustang, but he might have brought his personal version of that in. And he came in with his son, PJ, who I believe lives in Arizona, does a lot of off-road racing, like side-by-sides and stuff. And even maybe runs a school out there. But getting into some of those conversations about Indy 500 back in the 60s when he won, and the turbine car that basically got banned, and then going from that racing to Baja 1000 is just like anything on four wheels. This guy,
he was capable
of racing and just dominating, and just some of the antics. I was trying to find the episode. I don't have it in my archives. I think it's probably over in Corolla's archives, but I was trying to recall some of the stories he was telling. But the things they had to go through as drivers, because things were so experimental. You watch movies now, like the Ferrari movie and Ford v Ferrari, and you see in those, in sort of the Hollywood eyes of things, how they test and how things are dangerous and how things are experimental. But when you really talk to these guys one-on-one, guys like Parnelli Jones, and you hear about it and how wildly dangerous some of these things were, pieces falling off the car 200 miles an hour. Like it's pretty insane how guys like that live to 90 years old, right? Like
exactly. I mean, it's, and you know, he was back when, you know, the Unser brothers were racing and all those guys. He won the Indy 500, I think in 63, right?
I want to say 63 sounds about right.
I think it was 63. And when he died, he was the oldest living Indy 500 winner. And
But it's
kind of like, Matt, what you were saying, it reminds me a little bit of when you hear about the test pilots back in the 60s and like that, you know, you hear they're all on the ragged edge and they just put them in a jet and say, give it a try, see if it works, you know? And
yeah,
that's what they were doing with these race cars. And it was just nuts. But
I don't know if you guys got to like dig into like the turbine car, but
that was the Andy Granatelli car, right?
I believe. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a Granatelli car.
Andy Granatelli car. Yeah.
But just how difficult it was to drive. And I think he was saying like, it wouldn't stop. Like it would overdrive the brakes, and it was nuts.
Well, think of thrust versus wheels, you know? I mean, it's not like a jet. I mean, jets don't just stop. They have to wind down, you know? It's
pretty nuts. And then, like, hearing stories like that and then talking to Leno about his turbine motorcycle.
Which is crazy. I know.
That thing is nuts. But just seeing it fire up in a parking lot. If you guys have never seen any video, try to just Google it or look on YouTube of Leno firing up his turbine motorcycle. And I mean, the irony is not lost that his warehouse is at an airport, because it sounds like it should be at an airport. I think if you fired that up, like outside of your place at Bond Speed Wheels, people would be like, what is somebody landing? Like what's going on? Is there a plane there?
Or a jet helicopter out there?
At least when he fires up the motorcycle, it sort of sounds appropriate for where they are. But that thing is pretty nuts. And he's a fan of that technology. But anyway, yeah.
I mean, at Leno, you never know. It could be a steam car pulling up one time. And,
having been able to do a couple of podcasts with him and shoot some videos with him and have him over to the car collection, Adam's collection stuff was a treat. And I believe we filmed some stuff with him in the documentaries as well. So being able to get him to tell some stories on camera was a treat as well.
We're just really fortunate to have been around people like that and get to hear it one-on-one. It's one thing to hear it on a video, but like when you're in the car, or you're at dinner and you're hearing these stories, or you're on a podcast and you have them over looking at Corolla's collection and you get to have it one-on-one. It's just a little bit different. It's really very fortunate for us to do that. And
you know, the motorsports legends that have passed away in tragic accidents are typically the ones that get featured in Hollywood films. But Parnelli Jones is one of those guys that kind of deserves a feature because he lived through it all.
Yeah.
He lived through 90 and managed to overcome some of the most insane obstacles in motorsports.
I would say a guy like Parnelli Jones is the equivalent of an automotive stuntman. I mean, he really, he was always just right there on the edge, and it was really cool. Hey, along that lines, I'm going to do a little self promotion right here. I not that I drove or raced or did anything cool like Parnelli Jones, but if anybody's a collector of vintage sprint cars, I have a 49 Curtis Craft, which is one of the coolest sprint car, and it's got a 110 Offie motor. Now, the Indy cars used, I believe it was a 270 or a 207 Offie, but this is the billet crank built to run with a magneto in it. It's got all the trick stuff, and it's a black and red Offie, original, California race car, man. And if anybody's interested in something like that, just hit me up online. I can get them photos and tell them more about it. But it is one sweet little vintage race car. So
I didn't know you had that, Brad. Did I ever see that?
I am actually selling it for a friend of mine. He's
He's
in his 80s, and he said that he definitely will never get out on the track like he planned to. So he said, my body's not going to accept it anymore. So he decided to sell it, and he hit me up and asked me if I could help him, and I told him absolutely. And so it's a neat little car. It's a really neat little car.
My great uncle raced those growing up, and I remember Dad sponsored it for a little while. He had it blue when Dad did 9 and a 10 scale, and it had the little smoke vapor around it, and then he painted it red later on for the Red album. But Harry Starner was his name. I don't know that he was any kind of a champion. I think maybe just regionally he raced, but I remember that car, and I have pictures in the car and Dad in the car, and I've been trying to find it for years because Dad's like, man, I'd really like to have that car. That'd be so cool just to have in the warehouse. Like the only thing that I've ever heard him say, that'd be cool just to have it
just
sitting
to have
there.
That's the greatest thing about them is, unlike some vehicles, they don't take up a lot of room,
No. And this would have been in the 70s and 80s. I think he ran it until the 80s. And I remember he was old back then. So it was my great Aunt Maxine and Harry Starner. They were country folk, man. They were, not real friendly and real. They were like, I didn't have many conversations with them, but a lot of disciplinary fingers pointing,
Oh, a lot of fingers pointing. Hey, you're in trouble. Wait till your father gets home.
The Utah's children should be seen and not heard. They were definitely those.
Oh yeah, that was Charlotte tells me those stories all the time. We got to go to the basement because children were to be seen and not heard. The adults were upstairs.
Exactly.
Cards.
Yeah, so. I think Aunt Maxine would point to the den and go like, "You're off to the den. Why the adults talk and smoke cigarettes?"
They say, "Wait till your father gets home," or did they say, "Wait till your father gets back from tour"?
No, because I didn't stay with them. We would just go visit them. But I remember I remember the den. I still have to go to the den. But anyway, if anybody knows anything about that history or that car, I know those things probably.
I know where one is.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, Yeah. It's the one. They repainted it. It used to say Harry on it. I know that. And you know, hey, Matt, you were telling us about some kook up in Seattle that had his Hellcat and went hell crazy. What is the story behind this?
You know, I brought it up on CarCast, the Goldberg as well, being such a Dodge guy. But this kind of opened up the topic of a couple of bad actors ruining like automotive enthusiasts, just kind of ruining the hobby for us. Is this guy in Seattle has been taking his Charger Hellcat and tearing up the streets, very loud, obviously breaking the rules. It's gotten pulled over. I think he's been issued tickets. I think at one point he's been arrested, and he keeps filming everything for social media. Got out of jail, went back out there and started tearing up the streets again. Incredibly dangerous. And now the state's going after him with just a bunch of fines. They're trying to get $83,000 of fines out of him now. I'm not even sure how they tallied them all up. But
I mean, he was filming himself like going 100 miles an hour through neighborhoods, right?
Yeah. Jeez.
I mean, stupid stuff, you know? I mean, and his car wasn't subtle.
He had a court order to not drive the car anymore. They're like, you're not allowed to drive your car anymore. And he did some jail time. And then still he went out and started tearing it up. And we were talking about those takeovers that we had here for a while that
street
were
street takeovers, which are, yeah,
you know, in those intersections, they were dangerous. People were getting hurt. The cops had to crack down. It was nuts. But this is sort of a version of that where things like that kind of ruin.
Yeah.
You know, like, which why, you know, we can't do cars and coffee events as much. We can't do like morning car show events, and like everyone's going to leave the event and peel out, and it's too dangerous. And they're going to all rev their cars.
If they're in a Mustang, they're
going to
get sideways and yeah, their car.
And every Mustang owner is going to be on the sidewalk. And, you know, so now they're just like, we're not even having it, you know, very famously now the Malibu car show, weekend car show thing is gone. And then they got moved to Marina Del Rey, and now they're being told they can't have it here. And the venue where they are, which is a restaurant out here, they're like, we like the car show. We're car fans. They do their own car show where they get a bunch of like low riders and older cars and hot rods. And now cops are like, no, you can't do that either. So you can't even have like a car to get together anymore because of guys like this doing this crazy shit on social media.
It's always been there, but here's the difference. When I was younger and I had my Chevelle and I would do a burnout up the street or I would do whatever, you'd quick look around and see, oh, make sure there was no cops, and then you'd get out of the area. Now they film it. Oh, go back for another run so we get it from the other angle. And then they post it, you know, it's because they want to be, you know, internet heroes or TikTok stars or whatever. And that is a problem, especially when they do things on the edge, like go 100 miles an hour through a neighborhood. Or what he was doing was he had a decimal meter on his iPhone and he was out in front of his house revving it up to like 43 decibels to just get his neighbors pissed off, knowing that he wasn't supposed to be doing it. And I mean, if you combined him with our first discussion, if he was going 100 miles an hour and the guy with the tungsten block threw it through his windshield to see if it would go throughout the back window before it ever made contact with anything else in the car, that's what they should be doing. So
good God. This is the Belltown Hellcat guy we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. So this guy in Seattle he got a ticket for a modified exhaust and they said it needed to be fixed. And I guess he said, fine. And this is how they're coming up with their fees. They're saying that he was supposed to get the exhaust fixed and then go back and prove to them that it was fixed, like a fix-it ticket. Like if you don't have a front license plate or whatever, those of you that have gotten a fix-it ticket, like when they started doing front license plates again out here, they're like, you need a front license plate. I said, I have it. They said, you need to put it on and then you need to drive to the police station in Culver City. You need to show them that you got it on. I was like,
I just got one last week. They told me that I couldn't have an oil slick device like 007. And I explained to him, no, that's just my motor. It drops that much oil whenever I drive.
Did you buy a BMW?
I did. I bought a BMW.
Anyway, they're saying he hasn't come in and showed proof that he fixed the exhaust. So they're hitting him with a $1,300 per day fine. And that's how they came up with the $83,000 so far. I guess he's still racking it up. And they said he was caught doing 107 miles an hour back in March. So anyway, you're right. Even when I was a kid and we did some street racing or something, which was silly at the time, at least that was like out in the middle of nowhere. Like
it was, we always went out somewhere remote, right? We didn't go in our own neighborhood.
Yeah. And I don't think my car was that loud.
No.
How loud could a stock Fox Buddy Mustang be?
I mean, my open headers that every once in a while I would do on a Saturday, my neighbors didn't mind that. Come on, you know, it was.
The most we had on the Mustangs was like the Flowmasters. That was like cracked us. If you had a Fox Body Mustang with Flowmasters, like that was like you had to have that. But
well, everything was good until Karen moved in next door. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what's so funny is things change with age. I remember thinking my car sounded so cool with open headers. Every once in a while, I'd drop the exhaust and I'd drive it somewhere with open headers. I remember thinking, and I can remember to this day, pulling up to a stoplight and somebody looking over at me like, oh, God, you know, and now some guy pulls up next to me with his Mustang 5.0 and, you know, they can open it all the way up and it's going, rah! You know, and when they shift, it goes, rah! And I'm like, oh, come on. And then I go, wait, I'm getting old.
There's something about it. You know, there's something about it. Like, honestly, it's like. Like you walk into a room and people are like smoking cigars. You're like, that is terrible. But if mm-hmm. you're smoking the cigar,
there you go. Yes.
Then you don't really notice it as much. Like I don't smoke or anything, but in my day, sure. I've had a cigar, but we'll walk around outside, walk the dog. Someone will be standing there smoking a cigar. And I'm just like, oh, it smells terrible. But if you're the one smoking it, it's fine. Same thing. If you're driving the car and it's loud like that, you don't realize how annoying it is to everybody
else. How many things can we come up with in like 2 minutes that are like that? Okay, I got one. Bagger motorcycle guys that have the full stereo. They pull up next to you. You got to hear everything that they're playing for two blocks away. You hear
right? Yeah.
Yeah. With the radios going. Yeah. My dogs yell at those motorcycles all the time. My dogs hate motorcycles and garbage trucks.
And trains. They don't like trains either.
Yeah.
But just the other day I was getting gas and some bagger bike pulls up next to the light. And I thought, okay, this is funny because this guy was all badass looking. He was like a biker looking guy, had his bagger bike, had the stereo going. And he had like
Taylor Swift.
He was playing like yacht rock. And I'm like going, really? Christopher Cross? That's what you're listening to, dude? You know? And it was just like one of these things. I looked at him and I looked at him again. And I go, am I really hearing Christopher Cross? You know? I mean, it was like, wow. You got to kind of make sure you do your selections a little bit better. But,
oh, man.
Is there anything else you can think of that is like that, where if you're doing it, it's cool? Because if you're on that bike and you're driving down the freeway, you just hear it and you think, oh, man, this is great.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I mean, there's a lot. Like sometimes when I hear somebody else's podcast and I'm not hosting it, then I'm like, well, why would you listen to a podcast? Yeah. And I realize I don't really want to hear myself, but I guess it's less if I'm talking in the mic.
Well, I'll tell you another one. It's like it happened every morning at my house. My wife, she's blow drying her hair. Now, you know, to her, that's, you know, but I'm trying to hear the news, okay? You know, and I made a mistake. I referenced the tungsten block. We talked about that off air.
Off the air, yeah.
So nobody has a frame of reference. And what we were talking about, everyone, was that there is a guy online, and he is on TikTok, if you want to see it yourself, as Ludwig, Ludwig. It's at Ludwig on TikTok, and he had a Model S Tesla, one of Matt's favorite vehicle manufacturers. And and he had just a square block, 45 pounds of tungsten. Now, those of you who know, tungsten is one of the most densest metals. It's heavy. It's just indestructible almost. He throws this off of the second story of a parking garage into the glass roof of a Tesla Model S. Well, it didn't just shatter it. It went right through it, man. And it brought me to the point, I've been seeing this more and more, and I know you guys, we have talked about this, that people are destroying cars, whether it's taking a brand new Raptor out and jumping it as high as they can, knowing they're absolutely destroying the car for TikTok fame or for internet fame. I mean, what is this all about, man?
Yeah. Now this particular car looks like it was already damaged. So either he bought some wrecked Tesla or was doing other stuff on a wrecked Tesla.
There's smashed watermelons all around it. So
yeah.
I would imagine they were throwing things at it all day long, you know,
but the front is smashed, but
yeah. Front's actually kind of missing.
When the Ram TRX came out, somebody had the video of them like jumping it over a, I don't know, a ditch or
right.
something like that. And right. I think we even talked about this before.
We showed it on the show. Yeah.
And you just see the things like fold in half and these smashing into trucks. And I'm just like, you just bought a $90,000 truck. I guess, are you just breaking it for the sake of breaking it? At least if you're doing this, like the tungsten block, this guy's, I don't know, he's in a parking lot somewhere or a building or an office complex or his own building or something like that. Or the guy with the TRX is off road someplace as opposed to in the streets, like the guy in the Hellcat in Seattle, that's got the fines, you know, at least it's less dangerous, but I just don't want to like ruin a car for the sake of ruining a car.
Well, have you seen the street takeovers where, and they do, I don't know why it's the truck culture, but these nice lowered trucks with like 24 inch wheels and like that, and they start spinning around doing it, and then they bang into each other on purpose, and then they get like nose to nose, and they're going till one of them blows up, and I'm just like going, where's the sense in that? You know, you're ruining tires, you're ruining trucks, you're ruining motors. There was one that I saw that was and it did. Now, this particular one came out later. It was at a street takeover. They had a brand new Jeep like yours, Aaron, and it was all raised up, had beautiful wheels and tires on it, nice lighting and everything. And it came out later that it was a stolen vehicle that somebody brought to the takeover. The guy gets in the middle, gets a gas can out, and starts pouring it all over the Jeep, lights it on fire, and guys go spinning around it. Then I'm like going, who does that? Then it came out like a week later that it was a stolen car that somebody did. And now they're trying to track down this guy who burned it in the street, you know, but still, even that, aren't car guys, car guys, don't they respect the cars and like the cars?
Well, here's the problem. We've got a generation out there doing stupid shit with other people's money.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't have any respect. They don't have any courtesy for it because it's not their money.
Well, and they're making money for doing it. So if they're a TikTok person, they're going, oh, well, I made $120,000 because it got 1 million hits or something.
But, you know? But it, in my opinion, it's still not their money. It's easy right. money because other people are throwing money at them. It's not their money.
Yeah, or they're stealing a car, which is not theirs. Somebody else paid
exactly.
money for it.
Right. Yeah, it's people who don't respect the vehicles, the culture, themselves, each other, all this stuff. It's part of a generation that's ugly. You know, every generation has these types of people. This is just our time of dealing with what we're dealing with. You know, the others were straight cut.
Take it out on the cars, Aaron. Why couldn't they do something else?
The others were Brad Fanshaw's dragging up and down the street, you know, or doing wheelies on his cruiser bike, you know, at the beach or whatever, barefoot, you know. I mean,
well, there's also the whole new thing of, I'm sure. Matt, over by you, it was on the news the other night, the biker gangs of Marina Del Rey. Have you seen that? They're the electric bikes, and some of them,
oh my god,
some of these electric bikes look like an RM250 dirt bike, you know, and they're just taking over the streets, squeezing cars and, you know, riding in front of them, doing wheelies. And I saw it and I thought, wow, I hadn't seen any of that. I have a friend in town and I took him down to the beach for lunch the other day. And as I was going to the airport to pick him up, I see this kid. There's all these cars. They're sitting at the intersection waiting for the light. He rides into the left-hand turn lane, pops a wheelie, goes around, makes a right out of the turn lane in front of all these cars and in front of traffic without even stopping, and just starts riding a wheelie up the street and just like going.
Yeah, he's on a Saron or something.
You know,
yeah.
It's like,
you're gonna get hit by a car. Gonna get hit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then it'll be their fault. You know, he's a pedestrian or something like that. So
it's the same culture that we grew up with skateboards and BMX. It's the same kids. Yeah. It's the same mentality. They just got better toys.
you know what we've got to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do to stop this is we've got to hear a word from our sponsor.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You know, another story that came up was somebody, I just read this the other day. Somebody got arrested for, they got pulled over in a stolen car and they got arrested.
What?
And then when they called somebody from the police department to come pick them up, that person showed up in a stolen car and also got caught. I guess somebody else decided to run the plate as they were getting picked up. And they're like, that's also reported as a stolen car.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I swear he let me borrow it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of
three states away, really.
Oh, funny. Funny stuff.
Hey,
80-year-old Miss Jones lets you borrow it.
There's a cool movie that I just got a promotional flyer on. It's called Craft of Speed, the Moon Eyes documentary. And, you know, it sounds really, somebody spent years working on this documentary, because what's really cool is everybody knows Moon Eyes, but a lot of them don't know the story and how not only did Dean Moon start it, but how 30 years ago, Shige and Chico, if it wasn't for them, and I've mentioned this a little bit on the show over the years, if it wasn't for them, Moon Eyes would long be history. And this takes a look at how Shige and Chico, two Japanese American hot rodders, helped save Moon Equipment Company, an American icon. You can tell I'm reading this, of course.
Read away.
But and have spread and popularized hot rod culture throughout Asia. And it sounds like it's pretty cool, because it's not only about Moon, but how they have taken it. Because now there is a Moon Eyes of Japan, there's a Moon Eyes of Taiwan, there's a Moon Eyes all throughout Asia. And they've done a lot. What's interesting about Shige is having got to know him when I was at Boyd's and he was one of our big customers, he was the CFO of Disneyland Tokyo. And when he went to school here in the 60s, he went to UCLA, but he worked at Moon, and he worked there when Dean Moon was still there and Ed Roth. And so he got to know all those, got to see everything. then he went back to Japan and, you know, became the CFO of Disneyland. And he saw that it was going away. And when Dean died, he came back over and bought it. But he bought everything. He used to store the Moon Eyes Streamliner here in my warehouse. And that's how I ended up with the Dragster. So with the Moon Dragster was because I always said, I want to buy that. I want to buy that. And one day he called me and said, do you want to buy? I said, yeah. And he goes, no.
I already told you.
Not a Streamliner. And wow. But sounds like a really cool movie. They're having the premiere Saturday, July 20th. And that's not open to the public, but I know that they're going to be announcing other showings of it and like that. So watch for Craft of Speed, the Moon Eyes documentary coming out.
Very cool. I'm scrolling through my photos trying to find, I don't know. Did I ever show you that the my buddy Roby, his Moon Eyes? Did I ever show you those?
No.
He has them tattooed on his butt cheek.
Oh, really?
Like the entire butt cheek is an eye. It is hilarious. I'm trying to find the
Moon
photos.
Eyes on his butt.
Yes, and it's really funny. So when he moon eyes, you know. Well, I will find that photo.
Kind of funny. I don't think I have that kind of commitment in me, but it's kind of funny.
I don't have a commitment for anything on my body, let alone moon eyes.
Yeah.
His whole back is one of the covers from Kiss. He's a huge Kiss fan. Oh. And then every single one of his tattoos is like a classic 60s funny car. He's the one that owns Jungle Jim.
Cool.
Is it a Vega, the Jungle Jim Vega?
Well, they did a Vega and a Nova. There were two of them. Yeah, I think.
I think he has the Vega. It's the one that one side of it was burned.
Okay.
In a crash. But he's got it sitting up in Tahoe. I keep telling him, put it in the museum. He's like, my garage is the museum.
I just posted a photo on my Winbrad Stuff Instagram page last night. I ran across a photo of Boyd and I with Shazoom in Tokyo.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was the very first Moon Eyes car show. And Chico and Shige paid to air freight Shazoom over and had us over. And one of the coolest things I've ever done is I got to drive Shazoom through downtown Tokyo, the famous with all the light boards and everything. And we filmed it. And
wow.
What is so cool is, I mean, you know, the Japanese culture. And I mean, when that car rolled through downtown Tokyo, I'm telling you, everybody just was like mouth open, eyes wide. And it was really cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Brad, I meant to ask you this. I saw an auction on Bring a Trailer. It ended, but it was a 69 Copo Camaro.
Okay.
But it was an L72, a 427, 425, 4-speed.
Yeah.
Car.
So Copo was central office production order. You had to know the numbers and you could order it with the 427. And then you could order things like radio delete, heater delete to lighten them all up. And stuff like that.
And I know you and I have seen a handful of these come up at Barrett Jackson. And I just don't know enough about the different configurations as to what's a good buy, what's not a good buy. But this particular car sold for $200,000. Actually, somebody being Bring a Trailer, of course, the fans are bringing it, sold for $200,427 because it's the 427 car. So, I mean, I get it. That's the funny bid. But some of them we've seen, and I remember being up there in the skybox a few times, and you're going, that's a lot of money, and that's not a lot of money. And where are we? Where do you think on a 427 Copo Camaro?
Well, here again, it's like anything of that era. It's going to be heritage also. What's the pedigree of it? Who drove it? Did it win races? Did it win nationals? Because I'm trying to remember, I believe there was 45 ZL1s, which are the aluminum block 69 mm-hmm. Camaro, which are, of course, million-dollar cars now, practically. But the 427 COPOs, there were more of them made, maybe around 200, I believe. And most of them went to the drag strip. And very, very few of them were street cars.
Now that I'm reading it, it has a replacement block.
Okay, that devalues it tremendously.
Yeah.
But most of them do because they went to the racetrack and they destroyed them. But if you have one with a VIN matching, you know, numbers on the car with the motor, yeah, it's going to be worth a ton more money.
When it raced, it had the name Rat's Nest.
That one doesn't sound familiar.
It was basically a red, white, and blue livery, but now the car is in a Le Mans blue.
I think I mentioned here on the show once, yeah. I had a buddy in high school who had one, and we used to make fun of him because back then nobody really knew what a COPO car was. We just knew that you could get a 427 Camaro, but George's car, we used to laugh because George had no radio and he had no heater. Yeah. And he'd pull up to high school in the 69 Camaro, it had a 427 and it was fast, but he didn't have a heater. He froze his ass off. Didn't even have a radio in it. Well, years later, we find out that George's car was very, very rare and worth a ton of money because of all those, you know? And, but
I mean, this car, like you said, it isn't perfect because of the block change, but it's a period correct block and it's well documented, and it's a nice car, and it's basically set up in street trim now. You know, it's not race trim, it's got a full interior. Anyway,
I
think somebody ends up with a nice car.
That kind of money, if it doesn't have the matching block, what it has is a block with the right casting numbers for when the car was built, because they'll get down to like, okay, this 69 Camaro was built May of what, and so they'll find a block that is the right block that has the right casting number. So maybe it doesn't match the car, but when you say era block, it was done in the same time, so that you don't take a 70 Camaro motor and put it in it, or even just a
modern crate engine. You don't just you don't flip open the Chevy Performance Parts catalog and be like, hey, I need a 427 block.
Or go down to the junkyard.
Put that one in and run it, and then motor, you know.
It's nice. It was done well. I think someone's gonna have a nice car in their collection.
They're neat cars. I just and they made a COPO Nova and a COPO Chevelle. So I mean, those are like the Novas are really going up because they're so rare, you know, they're so hard to find. But cool stuff.
Anyway, yeah, I thought that car would be interesting to you. Especially.
I love that stuff. Yeah, I'd love to have one. But I got to get done what I have now, and then I can maybe look.
Because you talk about it a lot. But we've seen no progress, Brad. None.
But let me tell you, right now I can't even get through my shop at home, and
you've got a lot of stuff
going through. No, but you know, I'm clearing out my mom's estate, and I brought back this huge U-Haul full of stuff and filled up every, I look like a hoarder now. You go into my shop and there's a
69
Camaro.
Yeah, right.
Camaro. There's my Mercedes.
You look like a next level hoarder now.
Yes. And now it's like stacking and you have aisleways. Now we brought back another trailer load from Arizona, and the front, you know, where we used to do the podcast up front,
right? Yeah,
everything's moved against the walls and it's floor to ceiling boxes.
Work you did over the past year or so to build the loft or the mezzanine area and
to make room for all this,
and so and now it's all back in there. You know what though, as we laugh about that, you guys are going to laugh about this as well. We talk about projects still not getting finished and all the projects stacked up behind me not getting finished, and I just committed to bringing a car to the SEMA show. but it's not going to be a complicated car. It just means less time to finish what I have. But my Lightning, the 2022, the electric truck, luckily I don't have to do anything mechanically to it. But yes, we came up with some ideas and we're bringing it to the real truck booth. They have a massive, massive booth in West Hall. I think the largest booth, aside from like the OEs, like GM or something. And I think they're going to have
not there anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. 11 or 12 cars or trucks in that booth.
Wow.
But we were talking and about some of the new parts and stuff they have coming out.
Yeah.
And I was like, is everything in your booth like a lifted truck or overlanding or off-road? And they're like, yeah. I said, but there are parts you have like new tonneau covers that you're never going to be able to see. because the trucks are all so big. So I said, so let's do a sport truck. Let's lower the truck. Let's, you know, use the electric truck. Let's lower it and maybe a little flare or something on the fenders and throw maybe some bikes or something in the back and show off some of those parts and
those electric Sirons, you know.
And I'm trying to actually, Brad and I, we talked about this off the air a little while back. I'm trying to partner up with a with an e-bike company to get a couple of electric bikes in the back of the truck that we can kind of show off.
I can take care of that for you, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we need that. We need to find a partner for that.
So on that note, my friend Rob Roskopf just announced that he's working with Specialized, and to my knowledge, Specialized I think bought Santa Cruz. So let's talk to Rob and see if we can't get a couple bikes in there for SEMA.
Cool.
Yeah, it'd be great to do. That's the part we're kind of missing, and I need to lock that down because depending on what those bikes look like is what sort of determines how we touch up some of the accessories. Like, you know, if you do something like a little bit of trim color or even brake calipers or something, like if the bikes were orange, we kind of want to bring that in, you know, if they were, you know, so anyway, just a thought on that. So yeah, we should.
I'll connect with Rob after this.
For SEMA.
Yeah, so now SEMA, but luckily it's not like a big over the top like custom build. This one's going to be a little bit easier.
So far.
Yeah, tell us that when there's 8 days to go and some of the parts aren't there yet. You got big dark circles and you're going, can we do the podcast at like 2:30 in the afternoon? Because I got to get some stuff.
Teresa and I are painting the truck at the last minute.
Yeah, and I'm trying to avoid even doing that. I just maybe wrap some stuff and. I was talking to Goldberg about it. I was like, you know, when I brought the Mustang out and then, you know, the guys at Steeda who I love, they rushed to get like a new steering wheel done. So they like handmade the steering wheel, like FedExed it. And I don't remember if they just FedExed it to Vegas or if I brought it in my luggage. I think I brought it in my luggage and we just like landed on the Monday before SEMA. I went to the SEMA show, the car was there, and I just spent all night, like, you know, whatever, hours.
That's SEMA.
Swapping it. But because it was a prototype, I needed to send it back. So when SEMA wrapped, I had to take the other steering wheel back. So I just showed up in the hotel room with a steering wheel, and then I was like, I got to bring this back there. And I was like, I kind of don't want to do that this year. I'm going to try to avoid.
I come up with some SEMA stories, but I don't want to relive them right now.
I think we coined this a couple weeks ago. These are zebra problems.
Yes, they are. They are.
Listen, by the way, I've been following Goldberg's wife and she's got a new critter in there now. I'm like, ooh.
Yes. Wanda's Weezu. Follow her on Instagram. Yeah. Wanda's Weezu. Awesome. You're going to see.
She's got zebra problems. Like she's got zebra problems.
She's got an actual zebra and a giraffe and a kangaroo. And I'm a bull now.
Yeah. You know, the last person I knew had a giraffe was in the third edition of the Vegas movie. What was it? What was the one where they all went to Vegas for the
Hangover?
Hangover? The third version. Remember, he bought the giraffe in the beginning of the movie and he was driving home. And I didn't know that overhang was that low.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He had a trailer behind his Mercedes and little kids screaming. And he's like, oh, I didn't even know.
All right. Talk about watermelons exploding. Right.
I forgot about that in the movie.
Gonna have to revisit the Hangover films.
Okay. Matt, where can they find us online?
Yeah, check us out at shiftandsteer.com. You can find me at Moderator on all the social medias. And drink Bravago. Go to the website and order up some Bravago. Summer's coming along. You're going to want a nice, cool drink. I won't ship it to you cool, but you can put it in the fridge when you get it.
Really? Oh, yeah. So you won't ship it to me cool, huh?
Dry ice not included? Okay.
Dry ice is not included.
Double A Ron, how about you?
You can find me all over the internet, Aaron Hagar, although I haven't been posting too much. I just posted a wine. I was at my friend's wine. He bottled his.
Oh, you're wining on. Yeah.
His 2022. That's a cool process. Talk about a how it's made moment. I was like, you know, cinematic views of everything, just toom, 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 the whole process. Pretty neat. Cool. Anyway, you can find that, some other stuff on my social.
Okay. And of course, you can find me at Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram, Brad Fanshaw everywhere else. And if you need some wheels this summer, go to bondspeedwheels.com or just give us a call. So, all right, everybody, we'll be back next week. That's a promise, not a threat. Thanks for listening to Shift and Steer.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.